This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
3 o'clock hour, and we are live at the Amerant Bank Arena today, courtesy of Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. And we are here at the Amerant Bank Arena. Panthers and Lightning tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 7 o'clock puck drop, I believe.
Yeah, and if you remember the last time these two teams played here, Nikita Kucherov received a 5-minute major and a game misconduct for a knee-on-knee hit on Matthew Tkachuk. No Tkachuk tonight. I wonder who answers the bell.
Someone will.
There will be a bell, and it will be answered.
Give you some cat talk. It's sponsored by Hollywood Kia. At Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida, get the star treatment. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia. And online at HollywoodKia.com. The line tonight, Panthers are minus 150 favorites. Lightning are plus 130. Total is 5.5. And Panthers on the goal line are -1.5 at plus 160.
It's a sneaky big game in the division. Lightning have won 8 straight. Panthers have won 3 straight. Lightning have 2 games in hand, 3 back of the Panthers.
Any player props that you like tonight? Have you looked at anything?
I haven't, but I've been pretty consistently doing Barkov assist paired with Sam Reinhart point, and that has generally been a good bet this year.
Seth Jones, we'll see him tonight?
We will. We'll be paired up with Nico Mikola. He was at morning skate today on the second power play unit. I would imagine as he gets more comfortable here, we'll see him running the top unit.
All right. How about Seth Jones props? Over 1.5 shots on goal.
What is it?
Minus 130.
See, I love a 1.5 for a shots on goal. That feels...
Because anyone out there who's going to get some minutes, you feel like you might get a couple of chances.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Maybe pair it up with something else. A little pair up.
Look at us. A little pair up. Josh Bell is with me. Crowder is off today. Man, there's so much stuff to get to with the Heat. You were asking about the Heat earlier. I was reading something in Ask Ira. Got a question in the Sun Sentinel. He said, has gotten to the point, even with big leads, that you expect the Heat to lose. It's always something. 5 missed free throws in the fourth quarter. A ridiculous 8-second violation. Did you see that last night,
no,
or were you watching the Oscars?
I was watching the Oscars.
There was a Tyler Hero 8-second violation. When you it's a spot in the game where you have to be so uber aware of something silly like that.
I think that and the 5-second inbound violation are like the two most frustrating calls to go against you because they're so preventable.
Well, the 8-second violation, though, there was no one pressing anything. A 5-second one, you know, you're trying to find an open spot. Tyler Hero was literally unguarded and just casually brought the ball up. Anyway, the email reads, a Knicks tip-in on a missed shot while the Heat are up 4 in overtime. Eric Spoelstra forgetting Khalil Ware is on the team for the fourth quarter when he's having a great game. Highsmith missing an uncontested three that could have put the game away, letting Tyler Hero go 1-on-5 for the last shot of regulation instead of having preferably Bam Adebayo or someone else set a pick for Hero where he could either shoot or give it up to someone who has a better shot. As a fan, it's just so frustrating. For players and coaches, it's inexcusable. And this is what Ira Winderman responds in the Sun Sentinel. And yet, any of those factors you mentioned go the other way, and it becomes one of the most meaningful victories of the season. And yes, Ira says, the 8-second violation cannot happen. Teammates and coaches should have been frantic. As for Ware not playing late, I can appreciate Eric Spoelstra's thought process that the most likely way to lose a 12-point lead is by three-pointers, so you want players who can defend on the perimeter, but you are correct. A good team might be able to afford a few of what you cite. A bad team can't, and that's what the Heat are at the moment. They're a bad team. I don't feel like they're a bad team. Yeah, I feel like they are who they are. I think their roster dictates that they are a team, because who are the Knicks? 3 seed right now? Are they 3 in the East?
Yes, they're a 3 seed.
I would submit to you that the Heat are exactly a team that should blow a late lead.
Yeah, they're a mid-league 500 team.
To the 3 seed, and they're exactly the team that'll lose one to Atlanta and win the next one against Atlanta. Like, this is the exact team. That's what that roster is right now.
And obviously you take the best player, the guy that drives everything off of it, and they're still trying to figure out life without him. It's not going to look great. It didn't look great while
and
he
it
was
hasn't.
Here. Yeah, and it's going to take some time. Look, I'm not giving you a hot take here. Probably time to start thinking about next year with them, I would say. But
yeah, I don't think that's anything out of line.
No, I don't understand.
Most people. Somebody texts in based on what we were talking about in the last segment. What the hell are you talking about, Hawk? You don't get credit for who you brought to the franchise. This is about Chris Greer, me saying that Chris Greer, I believe, has made some really good moves as GM. He said, you get credit for playoff wins and championships. For you to say Greer gets a lot of credit, who in 20 years as GM hasn't experienced one playoff victory? That's laughable. Do you only get credit as a general manager or team president if your acquisitions turn into playoff wins? So my question is, I forget who the Nets GM who brought together
Sports Illustrated. Oh, we're talking about, now we're not talking about the first iteration of the Brooklyn Big Three, like Paul Pierce and that. We're talking
No. Okay. The one that failed miserably, or even the Phoenix Suns right now. You bring KD and Devin Booker together. Like, do you get no credit as a GM for putting KD and Devin Booker on a team together? It doesn't work. The GM gets no credit for being able to get them all there?
I don't think it's black and white. I think they do get credit for taking the swing and getting those guys in position to chase a title. But if you don't have success with it, I don't really know what credit there is to dole out. I'm not saying that, like...
Well, isn't it...
I'm not going to fault him for bringing those people in.
My greater point is, isn't it the front office's responsibility to acquire great players? And then it's the coach's responsibility to turn those acquisitions into winning. It's the conversation Crowder and Solana and I have had about Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel for the longest time now. Because if you had to pick, and I think we asked you, if you had to pick one of the three guys, Tua, Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, who's most at fault, which guy is it?
I mean,
because I would submit to you, and I happen to like Mike McDaniel, but I would submit to you that it's, unless, you know, I can make a case for Chris Greer for not having the right backup
personnel
quarterback.
And offensive line still an issue. Like, they have holes. Safety was an issue this year. The corner opposite Jalen Ramsey was an issue again this year. Thankfully, they figured out linebacker like halfway through the year, but they took a lot of stabs at that. I don't know. I think these things are, like, when we talk about it, it's either this or it's
this. In other words, if I'm a general manager and I said to you, here, you have Tyreek Hill, voted best player in the NFL by his peers 2 seasons ago. Here's Jalen Ramsey. One of the best corners you'll ever watch play football, right? Let me go get, Jordan Poyer didn't work out, obviously. But I have Jalen Phillips here. I've got Bradley Chubb. Again, you can't assume that people are going to be injured.
But I think a lot of the reason why things ended up going the way they did, obviously Mike McDaniel is, of course, partly at fault for that, but the team just wasn't built well enough, and that ultimately falls on the GM. So I think out of those three guys, he can get credit for the good moves he made, but that can't just be like a blanket, hey, credit to you, man. Like, they didn't win anything. So I it's hard for me to square those two things up.
MSN had
MSN
coaches in the hot seat. I get like hot seat
MSN
updates.
Yeah, it's the MSN. First time I've heard someone reference MSN.
MSN has coaches in the hot seat. I think it comes from Roto Baller. Like, you know how they aggregate it from somewhere. But Mike McDaniel, there's 7 coaches that they have listed as in the hot seat going into the next season. Yeah. Mike McDaniel is one of them. It says, McDaniel was hired by Miami mainly to help quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. While Tua has thrived under McDaniel's coaching, the team results have been a bit underwhelming. 2024 was Miami's first losing season since McDaniel took over in 22, but it has gone 0-2 in the playoffs under his watch and has struggled against good teams. Dolphins also have a reputation for being a soft team. Perhaps it's due to McDaniel's more laid-back style of coaching. Either way, Miami may want to see some improvement in terms of postseason wins to justify keeping McDaniel for another season. And we read something, I think it was from Chris Perkins last week, where he said essentially Mike McDaniel needs a miracle to save his job.
We talked about how the miracle is just winning a playoff game.
Right. If he doesn't, there's no question he's gone, right?
If they get off to a poor start this year and they're not in a playoff spot, like three-quarter, I could see this being a midseason firing if it gets off to a poor start.
The other coaches they have in the hot seat, Sean McDermott.
See, that's such an interesting one to me because it's not – it's like the
but
old,
at some point, don't you have it's to like, be able to win?
It's like the Andy Reid situation when he was in Philadelphia, where they were good every year and they made it to a Super Bowl, but they never were able to get over
how
that
about
hump
the,
win
the Panthers,
that game.
The Panthers, after winning the President's Trophy, saying, you know what, we need a new head coach.
A little different, though, because Andrew Brunette was an interim at the time. They had just gone through the whole Joe Quenneville situation. Sean McDermott has been in Buffalo for a long time, and they are one of the on the field. One of the more model franchises right now, and he is looked at as one of the better CEO head coaches and just general head coaches in the league. Like, it's one of those situations where if Buffalo was to let go of Sean McDermott, there'd be a long line of teams getting ready to hire him. It's just, can you get the team over that one hump? Which, again, we're talking about Mike McDaniel's seat is probably gone. His job is probably gone if he doesn't get a miracle and win a playoff game. Sean McDermott's situation is, we got to win a Super Bowl or I might be out of here.
Brian Callahan for the Titans, hot seat. Jonathan Gannon, Cardinals, hot seat. Kevin Stefanski, Browns, hot seat. That one, though, like, he was just given.
You asked me the same question about that you're asking about the Dolphins. That is totally on the front office, the general manager. Kevin Stefanski was coach of the year.
Right.
Like, that guy's a good coach, and the team that they built there, mostly because of the Deshaun Watson deal.
One of the worst trades of all time.
And thank goodness.
And it was, I know what you're going to say, it was almost our problem.
Yes, it was very, very close to being the Dolphins' problem.
Shane Steichen with the Colts and Brian Daboll.
I was a little surprised that Steichen is back after this past season.
Yeah.
A couple of those names. Shocking that Daboll, but I guess... Depending on what they do here, you're not going to fire the GM and keep the coach. And this is their last go, kind of like the Dolphins. And if we expect to happen,
they can go get Aaron Rodgers. I saw that he was being talked about.
What a weird fit that would be, man. It's kind of sad how his career is finishing.
Yeah.
Because for a long time I argued that he was better than Brady. For a long time I did. Maybe the texter was right.
Let's get headlines here. Dan Day is in for Solana today. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Heat, night two of a back-to-back against the Wizards. Tip-off going to be 7:30 right here on 560 WQAM.
That's right. You can hear the Heat game here on 560. You can hear the Panthers game on 790 AM. By the way, I didn't even mention this. Tree, I said at the beginning of the broadcast, he brings food when we're out here. And it's a very nice little treat. And he brought us, as he often does, these pre-made packs that come from Publix. And it's got a couple pieces of cheese in them, little cheese squares, and some grapes, and some apples. And everybody's seen them in the produce section. And Appel...
It was an honest mistake.
No, that's not an honest mistake.
Yeah, it was.
So there's some red apples, and there's some green apples.
It was unclear whether the green apples were an apple.
No, it wasn't unclear.
Yeah, it was.
And Appel asked Tree... Are these pears? And I don't. And so I asked Appel, are you nuts? Here, I can show Dan and Jimmy. These are the, that's the green apples. That's the red apples.
In my defense.
That there is no, I mean, not
my
a
defense,
chance in hell.
In my defense.
That one of these could be considered a pear. And we asked Appel, have you ever had a pear? And he said, no.
Never.
Now, is that shock? I find that to be shocking. I think pears are one of the greatest fruits. Might go on the... Is it a fruit? It's a fruit, right?
Yeah.
Goes on the Mount Rushmore of fruit. You've never had a pear.
I have Stone Cold Steve Austin on my Mount Rushmore.
So now you know all you need to know.
Listen, the green apple that I now know is a green apple that I picked up the first time had a little round curve on the bottom, and it was the color of a pear. So I was like, you know what? There's already red apples in here. There's red grapes and no green grapes. Is this a pear?
How do we feel about, how old are you, 30?
30.
How do we feel about a 30-year-old who's never tried a pear? Have you had a pear, Jimmy?
No.
You've never eaten a pear? This is mind-blowing.
I can't believe
to me.
Two people out of four have not eaten a pear.
Like, like every now and then, Lori, what did she bring home the other day? Pomelos? You ever heard of a pomelo? Almost like a grapefruit? Is that a pomelo? I'd never had a pomelo before.
A pomegranate?
No, not a pomegranate.
No one knows what a pomelo is.
Well, that was my point. That was kind of an out-of-the-ordinary... fruit to me, pomelos, but it's kind of the size of a grapefruit.
Sounds like an Italian restaurant.
A little bit more sweet than a grapefruit. But I said to her, let me try that. I've never had a pomelo before. But a pear seems like a very basic fruit. And I'm curious that you're obviously not a fruit and vegetables eater.
What are you talking about? I love specific fruits and vegetables.
Well,
I just tried cauliflower for the first time like a week ago.
Oh, interesting.
Well, what do you eat?
Yeah, he's a very
finicky. A lot of Brussels sprouts.
Very finicky eater. He's finicky.
I'm getting there, though.
But you've never had a pear.
Never had a pear.
Huh. And Jimmy, you've never had a pear?
No.
It's one of the best pieces of fruit to bite into.
You're missing out because everything about pears is great.
It's as tasty as any fruit. It's watery, juicy, sweet.
And New Marlins play-by-play voice on television, Kyle Seeloff, was famous for talking up the pears in the Marlins press box. And for 4 years, I never tried one.
They had pears in the press box.
In the press box.
And you didn't have a pear?
I did not.
You know who has the best pears? Harry and David. You ever order food or fruit from Harry and David?
No.
Really?
I don't know what that means.
This is so shocking.
I go to the grocery store, and I grab 5 apples out of the thing, and I put them in the bag, and I pay for them.
Well, what kind of apples do you get?
Depends. Honeycrisp most of the time.
Okay, fair.
I like crunchy. I don't like the mushy. Uh-huh. And if they like a yellow-red type of apple color, a little bigger.
Because a pear can be mushy at times if it's
don't like a mush.
Right. You got to make sure it's
right.
Do you
ever could have had a pear out of a can and not know it?
Like,
no chance.
I used to have them all here, the time.
How old are you?
70.
Yeah, because they don't make pears.
You look great.
Because my mom used to feed me pears out of cans, too. I don't think that happens anymore.
They don't make them anymore.
I think they do, like a Del Monte can of pears.
Del Monte.
Those are always delicious, by the way. Yeah. Sometimes they would be in syrup, though.
Ooh, I drink the juice. Oh.
But if you're getting them in the sugary syrup, you really have to get them in water.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He might have not have known.
Yeah. I think he's too young for pears out of a can.
Okay.
Man, shocking to me that two out of the four people on the screen right now, and Jimmy, I think, might be in his 40s. How old are you, Jimmy?
I am 39.
39.
I'm almost there.
Two guys in their 30s have never eaten a pear before. Wild to me.
You're welcome.
Absolutely, absolutely wild.
I mean, are you shocked that I've never had a pear?
Yes, I just said that.
No, I know. I know you said it, but I mean, you can't be surprised that I've never had one.
Jimmy, they're widely available.
Yeah, like it's not like they're, you know, it's so out of the ordinary. Like,
not to fly to the Canary Islands.
A pear, an orange, grapes. It seems like basic fruits that people eat as they're growing up. I don't know. That's wild to me. Anyway. More headlines, Daniel?
Yeah. The Canes baseball team salvaged a game in their series against Florida over the weekend, winning yesterday 13-7. Tomorrow, FIU, Miami, Lone Depot Park.
That's tomorrow?
That is tomorrow.
I did not realize that. That's a big game.
Very exciting. And Tyreek Hill celebrated his 31st birthday on Saturday, tweeting out, "This will be my best year yet, Dolph fans."
Right. Enough of the Tyreek Hill tweets. Seriously.
There's also a birthday from the Dolphins today. Our friend Javon Holland is 25 today.
How about that?
I'll give you some celebrity birthdays today. Don't look at the show sheet. Are you looking at it or not?
No, but somebody texted another name that made me laugh.
Because I was gonna give you some celebrity birthdays today. You guess their age.
Okay.
Camila Cabello.
26.
28.
Ooh, close.
Jason Tatum.
29?
27.
Ooh.
I thought he was in his 30s. Jessica Biel.
43.
43!
Boom!
It's you. Five big booms. Tone Loke. Do you know Tone Loke?
Either a musician or a basketball player.
Oh, my God.
Am I right?
I mean, yeah, wild thing. Funky Cold Medina.
Ah.
Tone Loke? You don't know Tone Loke?
I mean, I've heard of Tone Loke, but like a name that I've heard.
59 today. Jeremiah Bell?
That's the one that made me laugh.
Oh, the Dolphin. Yeah, Dolphin 47. How about Herschel Walker?
59.
Senator Walker is 63.
Not a senator.
Oh, he's not? All right. More headlines, Dan?
Oh, I did. Speaking of people aging, you know, sometimes it's time to retire. Jimmy Johnson has stepped away from the NFL on Fox.
Yeah, so he made it official today, even though we all saw it during the playoffs when they all said goodbye. He got tearful. It would have been strange if he was back next season. Would have been a ridiculous, emotional broadcast farewell.
Let's get to weather from the Nemesman and Dover Law Firm. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7, 866-954-MORE. Very still out there. Not very windy, but it's very clear and basically no chance of rain throughout the day here in South Florida with temperatures in the 70s.
Somebody texts in, "I'm 42. I've never eaten a pear." Somebody else texts in, "Pears taste like sand in it. It's sandy." Sometimes they do have a little grit to it. You have to, again, a very good pair.
But yeah, you got a perfectly
right
pair.
If I have to search far, long, and wide for the perfect pair, get out of here.
That's why you get it at Harry and David's. I mean, they're expensive, but they're delicious. Somebody else texts in, "Pears are nasty. They're gritty, greeny, and very unappealing. I'll take a red, delicious apple any day." An apple is more consistent.
An apple's just better.
But a pear, if you get the good one, is as delicious
as... Too many
as...
qualifiers.
there are a lot of qualifiers. Huh. Amazing. Never had a pear. Shout out to the pear.
Oh.
Rick
Shout
Ross.
Out to all the pears, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Josh Appel is with me here at the Amerant Bank Arena.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Somebody texts in, "How is it possible the most successful and famous person on the show does not know how to unmute their microphone or keep their teeth in?"
I let Jesus take the wheel.
Hawk and Crowder.
The world of professional wrestling was turned upside down on Saturday night. And again, I'm a fan of, you know, drama and plot twists, and wrestling does it probably as good, if not better, than anyone. And I didn't know that John Cena was I mean, I knew so he's like American hero guy. That's the role that he's played.
He is just the goodest of good guys. Legitimately, this is a real
thing.
Wears
the jean shorts, just like America.
Shorts, the colorful shirts, colorful headbands, colorful hats. There is not a person anywhere on the planet. This is a real thing. There's not a person anywhere on the planet that has granted more Make-A-Wish wishes than John Cena.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Because I saw that they're now calling it Break-A-Wish, that's his new moniker, Break-A-Wish.
There are a lot of kids, not just Make-A-Wish kids, but kids in general, who were not very thrilled with what happened on Saturday.
So explain it for everyone, because again, this was such a big story. It was on First Take. It literally dominated my timeline on social media Saturday night since the moment that it happened. I told you I was watching reaction videos of people who are big wrestling fans and, you know, wrestling commentators. And even the announcers were surprised. They couldn't believe what was going on. So he turned heel. He's a bad guy now.
He is a bad guy now.
Because why? Because he has teamed up with The Rock?
So The Rock, in the last couple of weeks, has approached the champion Cody Rhodes and been like, Cody, I don't want your title. I don't want your this. I don't want your that. I want your soul. Basically saying, Cody, I want you to sell out and come team up with me, the board member of TKO, and we will run everything in this business. I'll bring it
to heights. TKO? That's a bad guy group?
No, TKO is the parent company of the UFC, of WWE, run by Ari Emanuel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like he is playing into his real-life role as a board member of TKO, which, of course, owns WWE. And The Rock has this thing where he can just parachute in whenever he wants and be part of the show. So,
How long has he been a bad guy?
So they pivoted last year after the Royal Rumble. He came back as a good guy and was like, hey, Cody, I'm gonna be facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And then there was this big uproar amongst the fan base, and they pivoted, and The Rock became a bad guy for last year's WrestleMania run. And it culminated in what was one of the best WrestleManias ever. It was awesome. And so The Rock went away for a bit. He came back at the first Netflix show. And it was bizarre because a lot of people were wondering, well, this doesn't seem like a bad guy. He's coming and thanking Cody Rhodes and recognizing him and all this stuff. And then he comes back and he drops the offer. Hey, team up with me, essentially. And so Cody, over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, was mulling it over on the shows. And then it was promoted for Saturday that Cody Rhodes would finally give The Rock his answer. So after,
why would someone need to team up with The Rock? Isn't Cody Rhodes already the champion?
Right, but The Rock is saying, I can make you more than just the champion in WWE. Mm. I can make you successful in acting. I can make you successful as a businessman. You know, playing that whole spiel up. So the show on Saturday was the Elimination Chamber. And basically, the winner of the Elimination Chamber match is who will face Cody Rhodes for the title at WrestleMania.
That's the big event.
Correct. And so there are six wrestlers. John Cena is one of them. John Cena wins the match. The Rock comes out and says, all right, Cody, it's time. And Cena is in the ring. Travis Scott had made the entrance with The Rock for some reason that really hasn't been explained yet. He's like burning a sage in the corner of the ring while this all is going
down. Wasn't smoking a blunt?
He has before in WWE during an entrance of somebody else. This looked like a sage.
Okay.
So John Cena's remaining in the ring, and Cody Rhodes, after The Rock, says, all right, what are we going to do here, essentially? And Cody Rhodes, for the first time I've ever heard on WWE television, drops a legitimate F-bomb.
Right.
And they're not editing it out.
Now, this was on Netflix?
This was on Peacock.
On Peacock.
So Cody Rhodes tells The Rock,
go F yourself.
Go F yourself.
Yeah.
And Cena's in the background going nuts and all this stuff. And then Cena and Cody have a handshake because...
So that means everyone thinks at that point that Cody Rhodes and Cena are going to fight?
Yes, and they are still. But that it was just going to be the regular match, Cody versus John, and that's that. And a lot of people were wondering, all right, if you're going to do Cody and John Cena, how are you going to have two good guys face off against each other? It makes sense. Cody's been a good guy for 3 years since he came back to WWE. Is this the time where he turns heel and becomes corporate Cody? That's kind of what I was expecting. And when he said, go bleep yourself to The Rock, I was like, all right, well, are they really going to do this thing here with John Cena? And Cena, as a show of mutual respect, goes in for the handshake and the hug with Cody Rhodes, looks to his left, the smile is just dropped off his face, and Cena backs up and gives Cody Rhodes a kick in the you-know-what, and The Rock gave a little throat slash, too, to, you know, give the go-ahead to do the kick in the you-know-what, And we were off from there. And John Cena, for the first time in 20 years, is a heel. Again.
And there are people who are legitimately upset about this, from what I'm gathering.
Because people wanted this for so, in the middle of his career, people wanted this so bad. But John would be like, well, I'm going to stop selling merch. I'm going to go on it. Stop selling merch. Change my song. Change what I wear. No more make-a-wishes. Like, it is done. And he was, John Cena was, because he's on the Mount Rushmore, he was the face of WWE for more than a decade. Like, the single face carrying the company. And the idea of ever turning him heel, just they would never put it over the line. They would never go ahead and go through with it. This, like I said earlier, at the start, essentially, of his farewell tour, the final time he's ever going to wrestle this year, through the end of the calendar year, I should say, he's going to be a bad guy for at least a portion of it. It is something that nobody could have possibly.
This is seismic.
It was just,
but it happens.
Just,
correct me if I'm wrong. It does happen to everyone, right?
Guys,
at one point, Sergeant Slaughter was anti-America.
Yeah.
So at one point, Hulk Hogan became a bad guy.
The reason why it's such a big deal is because he never did it. We're going on 20 years of John Cena being this white meat babyface good guy that everybody loves. For a while, everybody booed him because people got tired of the stale pandering to kids and all that stuff, and him winning everything. So people wanted a little bit of a fresh take on his character, and it finally came now in one of the most jaw-dropping segments in WWE history. And like it differs from Hogan a little bit because Hogan was still kind of in the prime of his career. Like, it was a nice reset for him. Hogan, I think, wrestled for 6 or 7 more years after that, into 02 or 03, I believe, after he joined NWO. But it is on par with that because John Cena is the Hulk Hogan of that era, of this generation, where he was hustle, loyalty, respect.
You like this move?
I love it.
You do?
Oh, it's amazing. It's such a fresh take. It's something I didn't personally expect. It was just fantasy booking for everybody. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if this happened? Oh, there's no way they're going to do it, especially now. It's the last time he's ever going to be in the ring and be a part of it.
So WrestleMania will be Cody Rhodes versus John Cena
as a bad guy.
Cena as a bad guy.
Yeah, with The Rock in his corner. And there are some, and we're getting really into the weeds here, which I love. There's some theories here that The Rock isn't done building whatever.
I saw a three.
Right.
There's potentially a third person.
So when he came out the first time a month or so ago, he held up a three. After he did the throat slash last night, he held up a two.
So now what's the next?
Who knows?
Addition? Who could it be?
It could be Roman Reigns. It could be Jey Uso. It could be literally anybody.
Wow.
Could be Travis Scott.
Jimmy, are you happy with this move from John Cena?
It is fresh. And I love the move as well.
All right.
Because he's been a good guy most of his career. Like, the last time he was a bad guy was like the beginning when he started WWE.
He was a bad guy?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. When he first came up, and then he had this Doctor of Thugonomics rapper character. and it was funny, but then he transitioned into being the John Cena that we know now with the jorts. And
now, either you or Jimmy during one of the commercial breaks was telling me you're very excited about tonight. What is tonight?
Well, tonight's Monday Night Raw, so this will be the first chance to follow up on everything that happened on Saturday, and I would imagine it'll be the main storyline they talk about throughout the show. I don't know if Cody, Cena, or The Rock will appear on Raw, or if they'll appear on SmackDown on Friday, but
where does one see this Raw?
Netflix.
This is the one on Netflix.
This is the one on Netflix, yes.
All right. And you guys, you watch all of these?
I'll watch it tomorrow because I'll be at the Panthers game tonight.
You're going to watch tonight, Jimmy?
Yes, when I get home, because I'm working the Panthers game as well.
Interesting. So this is a big deal, or it's set? No. I'm saying now, tonight's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would imagine they'll get some good numbers viewership-wise for this Netflix Raw tonight. Is anybody enjoying this conversation?
I don't know. I find it fascinating, but then once the conversation starts, then I'm like, this sounds ridiculous. So I don't know.
I mean, it is, again, though, it is on par with Hogan turning heel in 96. It just, that is this generation's version of that. The Rock and Stone
Cold. So then
Cold.
We have to be rooting for Cody Rhodes then in WrestleMania, 100%, right?
100%. But
will either of those guys wrestle before WrestleMania? When is WrestleMania?
April 19th and 20th.
Oh, okay. So will they wrestle before then, or?
They will probably have matches, but not against each other.
Right, but you still have
matches.
They'll
be in segments together, and they'll probably have a match here and there. Nothing like
every. Where is WrestleMania this year?
WrestleMania is in Vegas this year.
Are you going?
I am not going. I'm actually, I don't know if I'm breaking this news here, but the 19th, night one of WrestleMania, I am doing an MLS game on Fox Sports 1.
So is that so?
Yes.
What MLS game are you doing?
Portland Timbers LAFC.
Oh, that's very exciting.
April 19th, 10 o'clock.
Who's a star on Portland?
I haven't done my prep yet. Phil Neville's their head coach.
So, that's the former Miami, Inter-Miamis.
Yep.
Yeah, the Inter-Miamis. Will you be going out to Vegas for WrestleMania, Jimmy?
No, too rich for my blood.
Have you ever gone to WrestleMania?
I've worked it before.
Oh, security.
Yes, yes, that's in Orlando.
Right. How many WrestleManias have you been to?
I have been to two.
Tampa.
Sorry, three. Tampa, Orlando, Miami.
Interesting. So you don't fly for WrestleMania? Because I know Mike Ryan every year, like wherever it is, like he flies.
Well, you fly
to Tampa, of course.
Right, yeah, of course. The last 2 years, I have received the invite to go on that trip. I just haven't been able to make it work. By the way, I am going to Tampa later this month with my wife, and we are obviously driving because who would ever fly to Tampa from Fort Lauderdale?
I'm glad you've seen the error in your ways.
What error?
Somebody texts in, the biggest mistake WWE could have done is moving Monday Night Raw from USA to Netflix. Is that true?
I would say that the whatever version of a bank account WWE corporate works from, I would say that they are not unhappy with that decision.
All right, fair enough. Somebody says, I listen to y'all every day. This segment is ridiculous.
Thank you.
Somebody says, I'm amazed that anyone other than former host Jonathan Laszlo or anyone under the age of 12 understands or cares about wrestling.
Hey, guy, how about this? Never watch any scripted television show ever again, okay? How about that? It's like the dumbest criticism
of
watching wrestling.
Sounds like you're channeling your inner Laszlo.
It's just Dagmo or Laszlo, or is that?
It says Jonathan Laszlo.
Oh.
Just reading it.
Yeah.
Reading it word for word.
It's the dumbest. Like, it's fine if you don't like it, but, oh, anybody under 12, like, then don't watch any other scripted television show that ever has.
You get prickly if people.
It's just like, just say you don't like it. That's fine. I can deal with that. But, like, you know, I got to say, oh, yeah, anybody under 12 or over 12 who watches, like, get
And by the way,
here.
By the way, all you have to do is watch one of these events. It's loaded with adults.
Yeah.
And then First Take this morning, Shannon Sharp is talking as, fiery about this heel turn.
It's a betrayal.
As he is about anything else.
I will freely admit that watching wrestling, it's the dumbest thing by far that I like. But I like it. And thousands and millions of others do.
It's a guilty pleasure for you.
They are going to, like they did last year in Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field, for two nights. They are going to put a sold-out stadium there for two nights in Vegas this year.
Every year, because we always do a segment on WrestleMania after WrestleMania. It's usually you joining us. And every year I point out the same thing, which is cities vie for WrestleMania the way that they do for a Super Bowl. That's how much economic impact that WrestleMania has when it goes to a different city. It is the popularity of professional wrestling is through the roof.
Let me look up what Netflix just paid for WWE rights.
It has to be astronomical.
Part of a $5 billion deal. So, hey, Texter, eat it.
Wow.
That's enough.
All right, Laszlo, settle down. 4 o'clock hour is coming up on the program. Randy Moeller is going to. I'm used to Plagans.
Wonder what he thinks of
Randy Moeller is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Steve Goldstein, Goldie's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Shout out to all the pair.
Hawk and Crowder.